Chapter 121. The Golden Dustman at his worst. The breakfast table at Mr. Boffin's was usually a very pleasant one, and was always presided over by Bella. As though he began each new day in his healthy natural character, and some waking hours were necessary to his relapse into the corrupting influences of his wealth, the face and the demeanor of the Golden Dustman were generally unclouded at that meal. It would have been easy to believe then that there was no change in him. It was as the day went on that the clouds gathered, and the brightness of the morn became obscured. One might have said that the shadows of avarice and distrust lengthened as his own shadow lengthened, and that the night closed around him gradually. But, one morning long afterwards to be remembered, it was black midnight with the Golden Dustman when he first appeared. His altered character had never been so grossly marked. His bearing towards his secretary was so charged with insolent distrust and arrogance that the latter rose and left the table before breakfast was half done. The look he directed at the secretary's retiring figure was so cunningly malignant that Bella would have sat astounded and indignant, even though he had not gone the length of secretly threatening Rokesmith with his clenched fist as he closed the door. This unlucky morning, of all mornings in the year, was the morning next after Mr. Boffin's interview with Mrs. Lammle in her little carriage. Bella looked to Mrs. Boffin's face for comment on, or explanation of, this stormy humor in her husband, but none was there. An anxious and a distressed observation of her own face was all she could read in it. When they were left alone together, which was not until noon, for Mr. Boffin sat long in his easy chair, by turns jogging up and down the breakfast room, clenching his fist and muttering, Bella, in consternation, asked her what had happened, what was wrong. I am forbidden to speak to you about it, Bella dear, I mustn't tell you, apostrophe was all the answer she could get. And still, whenever, in her wonder and dismay, she raised her eyes to Mrs. Boffin's face, she saw in it the same anxious and distressed observation of her own. Oppressed by her sense that trouble was impending, and lost in speculations why Mrs. Boffin should look at her as if she had any part in it, Bella found the day long and dreary. It was far on in the afternoon when, she being in her own room, a servant brought her a message from Mr. Boffin begging her to come to his. Mrs. Boffin was there, seated on a sofa, and Mr. Boffin was jogging up and down. On seeing Bella he stopped, beckoned her to him, and drew her arm through his. Don't be alarmed, my dear, apostrophe he said, gently, I am not angry with you. Why you actually tremble? Don't be alarmed. Bella, my dear, I'll see you righted. Apostrophe, see me righted? Apostrophe, apostrophe, thought Bella, and then repeated aloud in a tone of astonishment. See me righted, sir? Apostrophe, 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 said Mr. Boffin. See you righted. Send Mr. Rokesmith here, you sir. Apostrophe, Bella would have been lost in perplexity if there had been pause enough. But the servant found Mr. Rokesmith near at hand, and he almost immediately presented himself. Shut the door, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. I have got something to say to you which I fancy you'll not be pleased to hear. Apostrophe, I am sorry to reply, Mr. Boffin, apostrophe, returned the secretary, as, having closed the door, he turned and faced him, that I think that very likely. Apostrophe, what do you mean? Apostrophe, apostrophe, blustered Mr. Boffin. I mean that it has become no novelty to me to hear from your lips what I would rather not hear. Apostrophe, oh. Perhaps we shall change that, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin with a threatening roll of his head. I hope so, apostrophe, returned the secretary. He was quiet and respectful, but stood, as Bella thought and was glad to think, on his manhood too. Now, sir, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, look at this young lady on my arm. Bella involuntarily raising her eyes, when this sudden reference was made to herself, met those of Mr. Rokesmith. He was pale and seemed agitated. Then her eyes passed on to Mrs. Boffin's, and she met the look again. in a flash it enlightened her, and she began to understand what she had done. I say to you, sir, apostrophe Mr. Boffin repeated, look at this young lady on my arm. I do so, apostrophe returned the secretary. As his glance rested again on Bella for a moment, she thought there was reproach in it. But it is possible that the reproach was within herself. How dare you, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, tamper, unknown to me, with this young lady. How dare you come out of your station, and your place in my house, to pester this young lady with your impudent addresses? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I must decline to answer questions, apostrophe said the secretary, that are so offensively asked. Apostrophe, you decline to answer? Apostrophe, apostrophe retorted Mr. Boffin. You decline to answer, do you? Then I'll tell you what it is, Rokesmith. I'll answer for you. There are two sides to this matter, and I'll take them separately. The first side is sheer insolence. That's the first side. Apostrophe, the secretary smiled with some bitterness, as though he would have said, so I see and hear. Apostrophe, it was sheer insolence in you, I tell you, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, even to think of this young lady. This young lady was far above you. This young lady was no match for you. This young lady was lying in wait, as she was qualified to do, for money, and you had no money. Apostrophe, Bella hung her head and seemed to shrink a little from Mr. Boffin's protecting arm. What are you, I should like to know, apostrophe pursued Mr. Boffin, that you were to have the audacity to follow up this young lady. This young lady was looking about the market for a good bid. She wasn't in it to be snapped up by fellows that had no money to lay out, nothing to buy with. Apostrophe, oh, Mr. Boffin. Mrs. Boffin, pray say something for me. Apostrophe murmured Bella, disengaging her arm, and covering her face with her hands. Old lady, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, anticipating his wife, you hold your tongue. Bella, my dear, don't you let yourself be put out. I'll write you. Apostrophe, but you don't write me. Apostrophe, apostrophe exclaimed Bella, with great emphasis. You wrong me, apostrophe, don't you be put out, my dear, apostrophe complacently retorted Mr. Boffin. I'll bring this young man to book. Now, you rogue-smith. You can't decline to hear, you know, as well as to answer. You hear me tell you, that the first side of your conduct, was insolence, insolence and presumption. Answer me one thing, if you can. Didn't this young lady tell you so herself? Apostrophe, apostrophe, did I, Mr. Rokesmith? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked Bella with her face still covered. Oh say, Mr. Rokesmith, did I? Apostrophe, don't be distressed, Miss Wilfer, it matters very little now. Apostrophe, ah, you can't deny it, though. Apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, with a knowing shake of his head. But I have asked him to forgive me since, apostrophe cried Bella, and I would ask him to forgive me now again, upon my knees, if it would spare him. Apostrophe, apostrophe, here Mrs. Boffin broke out a crying. Old lady, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, stop that noise. Tender-hearted in you, Miss Bella, but I mean to have it outright through with this young man, having got him into a corner. Now, you rogue-smith. I tell you that's one side of your conduct, insolence and presumption. Now, I may come into the other, which is much worse. This was a speculation of yours. Apostrophe, I indignantly deny it. Apostrophe, it's of no use your denying it. It doesn't signify a bit, whether you deny it or not. I've got a head upon my shoulders, and it ain't a baby's. What? Apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, gathering himself together in his most suspicious attitude, and wrinkling his face into a very map of curves and corners. Don't I know what grabs are made at a man with money? If I didn't keep my eyes open, and my pockets buttoned, shouldn't I be brought to the workhouse, before I knew where I was? Wasn't the experience of Dancer, and Elves, and Hopkins, and Blueberry Jones, and ever so many more of 'em, similar to mine? Didn't everybody want to make grabs at what they got, and bring them to poverty and ruin? Weren't they forced to hide everything belonging to them, for fear it should be snatched from them? Of course they was. I shall be told next, that they didn't know human matter. They. Poor creatures, murmured the secretary. What do you say? Asked Mr. Boffin, snapping at him. However, you needn't be at the trouble of repeating it, for it ain't worth hearing, and won't go down with me. I may going to show this young lady the second view of you, and nothing you can say will stave it off. Now, attend here, Bella, my dear. Rokesmith, you're a needy chap. You're a chap that I pick up in the street. Are you, or ain't you? Go on, Mr. Bofflin. Don't appeal to me. Not appeal to you, retorted Mr. Boffin, as if he hadn't done so. No, I should hope not. Appealing to you would be rather a rum course. As I was saying, you're a needy chap that I pick up in the street. You come and ask me in the street to take you for a secretary, and I take you. Very good. Very bad, murmured the secretary. What do you say? Asked Mr. Boffin, snapping at him again. He returned no answer. Mr. Boffin, after eyeing him with a comical look of discomfited curiosity, was fain to begin afresh. This Rokesmith is a needy young man that I take for my secretary out of the open street. This Rokesmith gets acquainted with my affairs, and gets to know that I mean to settle a sum of money on this young lady. Oh ho! Says this Rokesmith. Here Mr. Boffin clapped a finger against his nose, and tapped it several times with a sneaking air, as embodying Rokesmith confidentially confabulating with his own nose. This will be a good haul, I'll go in for this. And so this Rokesmith, greedy and hungering, begins a creeping on his hands and knees towards the money. Not so bad a speculation either. For if this young lady had had less spirit, or had had less sense, through being at all in the romantic line, by George he might have worked it out, and made it pay. But fortunately she was too many for him, and a pretty figure he cuts now he is exposed. There he stands. Said Mr. Boffin, addressing Rokesmith himself with ridiculous inconsistency. Look at him. Your unfortunate suspicions, Mr. Boffin, began the secretary. Precious unfortunate for you, I can tell you, said Mr. Boffin. Are not to be combated by anyone, and I address myself to no such hopeless task. But I will say a word upon the truth. Yeah. Much you care about the truth, said Mr. Boffin, with a snap of his fingers. Naughty. My dear love. Expostulated his wife. Old lady, returned Mr. Boffin, you keep still. I say to this Rokesmith here, much he cares about the truth. I tell him again, much he cares about the truth. Our connection being at an end, Mr. Boffin, said the secretary, it can be of very little moment to me what you say. Oh. You are knowing enough, retorted Mr. Boffin, with a sly look, to have found out that our connection's at an end, eh? But you can't get beforehand with me. Look at this in my hand. This is your pay, on your discharge. You can only follow suit. You can't deprive me of the lead. Let's have no pretending that you discharge yourself. I discharge you. So that I go, remarked the secretary, waving the point aside with his hand. It is all one to me. Is it? Said Mr. Boffin. But it's two to me, let me tell you. Allowing a fellow that's found out to discharge himself is one thing. Discharging him for insolence and presumption, and likewise for designs upon his master's money, is another. One and one's two, not one. Old lady, don't you cut in. You keep still. Apostrophe, have you said all you wished to say to me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, demanded the secretary. I don't know whether I have or not, apostrophe, answered Mr. Boffin. It depends. Apostrophe, perhaps you will consider whether there are any other strong expressions that you would like to bestow upon me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I'll consider that, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, obstinately, at my convenience, and not at yours. You want the last word. It may not be suitable to let you have it. Apostrophe, naughty. My dear, dear naughty. You sound so hard. Apostrophe, cried poor Mrs. Boffin, not to be quite repressed. Old lady, apostrophe, said her husband, but without harshness, if you cut in when requested not, I'll get a pillow and carry you out of the room upon it. What do you want to say, your oaksmith? Apostrophe, to you, Mr. Boffin, nothing. But to Miss Wilfer, and to your good kind wife, a word. Apostrophe, out with it then, apostrophe, replied Mr. Boffin, and cut it short, for we've had enough of you. Apostrophe, I have borne, apostrophe, said the secretary, in a low voice, with my false position here, that I might not be separated from Miss Wilfer. To be near her has been a recompense to me from day to day, even for the undeserved treatment I have had here, and for the degraded aspect in which she has often seen me. Since Miss Wilfer rejected me, I have never again urged my suit, to the best of my belief, with a spoken syllable or a look. But I have never changed in my devotion to her, except if she will forgive my saying, so that it is deeper than it was, and better founded. Apostrophe, now, mark this chap's saying Miss Wilfer, when he means 50. SD. Apostrophe, cried Mr. Boffin, with a cunning wink. Now, mark this chap's. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.